Psalm 148. That's what I read before. Oh, well. Let's try Psalm 137, I think. You might remember, those of you who were on time, I read Psalm 148 at the beginning, and the whole point of that psalm is everything praises God. And if there's one thing I've learned over the years is that, you know, we need to praise God in every situation and whatever's going on in our lives, to focus our attention on God and to give him the praise that he deserves. And I'm going to talk about that in a little while. No, it wasn't Psalm 137 I was going to read. I can't find it. So let's forget about it. Can't find the one. The psalm that says, there's a psalm somewhere that says, unless the Lord builds the house, its people, its builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord stands guard over the city, nobody will protect it, or something like that. Okay, and he watches over your comings and in and your going out and all of that. So, but we'll read Psalm 148 again because it's really good. Ah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord. For he issued his command and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever. His decree will never be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, wind and weather that obey him. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, small scurrying animals and birds, kings of the earth and all people, rulers and judges of the earth, young men and young women, old men and children. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heavens. He made his people strong, honouring his faithful ones, the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Okay, Jacob, what is one thing that should praise the Lord? You weren't paying attention, were you? Holly! Oh, okay. Noah! Yeah. What's one thing that should praise God? All the animals on the earth. Well done, Chrissy. Yes. 27. Cool. It's all right. Don't need it anymore. All right. Everything should praise the Lord, the celestial beings, the sun and the moon. And the angels in heaven, the people on earth, and it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're as little as Mac and newly minted, or whether you're as old as, well, the oldest person in the room. Who will go nameless? You know, whether you're fat or thin or tall or short, whether you're male or female, God commands us all to praise him. And the great celebration of the whole creation is God. He's created us. We are, like, he's the reason why we exist. And I think that's great because, you know, people in the world are trying to tell us everything's just random. You know, the whole universe came into being because, you know, and just over billions of years, just by total chance, all this thing just happened. And there's no purpose in life. You're just a meaningless number in the whole fleeting universe thing. Psalm 139 tells us a different story. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, every moment laid out before a single day had passed. Listen, God knew you before you were born. He knitted you together, and each one of you is a unique creation, never to be repeated, never to be, never to be copied. You are absolutely unique, and you have been made as a one-off thing by God himself. And we should never think that our lives are meaningless. We should never believe that we're just here randomly and there's no purpose, no meaning to it, because God has made us. And that, if nothing else, is a good reason to praise him. But we should praise God also because he's great. We praise sporting heroes because of their achievements. But man, can you praise God who, with a single word, created the whole of creation, who manages to maintain it all and keep it all going. I like reading about scientific discoveries and stuff, and the more you read, the more you think, man, God is just so awesome. The immensity of space and the intricacy of quantum scale, tiny subatomic stuff, and the way it all locks together in a really beautiful way is just awesome. Only God could have made something like that. And a third reason, from Psalm 148, is that he makes us strong. He protects us. He cares for us. He saves us. Even when we were far from him, he loved us. Even when I was a teenager, rebelling against God in every way I could think of, he still loved me, and he still knew my name, and he still called me. And I think that's pretty awesome. And that's a good reason to praise him. And he continues to look after us. He continues to protect us. He continues to make us strong. This church was called by God from the moment we arrived in Narrabri. We started getting prophetic words about God wanting to do something new in this town, and eventually in 1996, at the end of September, I left the Uniting Church as a minister formally. Margaret and I had a month's holiday. spent 3 weeks living at... we lived at the Manse to start off with. We'd stay there till the end of the year. And in November, the first Sunday in November, which I think was the 3rd of November, 1996, we started New Life at Kogel Street Preschool. And basically we haven't grown up ever since, so that's good. This church was not a human idea. This church was not planted by a denomination. It was started by prophetic words and the call of God. And that makes us special in some ways. This church is special because from the time we started, we knew we were meant to be a cell church with two wings, not just the Sunday morning celebration with add-on Bible studies, but cell groups, small groups, home groups, whatever you want to call them, as much the body of Christ as the big meeting, and each having equal importance and fulfilling a different role. Another factor in this church has been that God has called us to be a community, to be like a family. And it's been a two steps forward, one step back, three steps forward, two steps back sort of thing. But God is uniting us together and binding us together as a community of faith, as a family of faith, in a way that goes deeper than any other church experiences. And we might not be there yet, but that's the destiny that God has for us, to be tightly knit together in the same way that the early church was. And the final thing about this church is that we recognise an apostolic style of leadership. So we don't have bishops, we don't have regional superintendents or supervisors or any of that stuff, not by the appointment of men, but by relationships. And so I submit myself to John Alley, who's my apostle, but it goes deeper than that. We recognise that authority in the church is modelled after fathers and sons in the Bible, and you know, we've talked about that for quite a few years now, in which those who are in authority are meant to love those whom they have authority over, as a father loves their sons and daughters, and it's meant to to raise them up and to bring them to maturity in the same way that earthly fathers are meant to do. And fathers are meant to, call out the boldness and the adventurousness and the risky faith in people. And that's what those in ministry are meant to do. So it's a relational thing. It's an organic thing. And it's based on the ministry gifts of Ephesians 4:11, of pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Just having a bit of a mental block there. So instead of us voting for a pastor, instead of us having a pastor appointed, it's the call of God and the equipping of God. Instead of us appointing, people to be in leadership, those people rise up out of the calling and the equipping of God. And, we've got our pastors and our teachers and our evangelists amongst us, and God is raising those people up. And in the end, all of this stuff, we could do all of this for purely human reasons, but the whole point why this congregation exists is it's about Jesus. It's about honouring the name of Jesus. And it's Jesus that equips us. It's Jesus who lived for us, who died for us, and rose for us. It's Jesus who paid the price for our sins. It's Jesus who will raise us to new life in eternity. It's Jesus that's at the heart of everything that we do. And, we're just a part of God's kingdom. We're part of God's reign in this world, on the earth, and we look forward to the time when Jesus returns and establishes his true, complete reign on the earth. But in the meantime, we're called to live as servants, as subjects, as people who are not subject so much to the laws of this land as the laws of the kingdom. And I believe over the next, during my lifetime, that there are going to be times when the laws of the land clash with the laws of God, and we will be forced to stand up for the laws of, well, we'll be required to stand up for God's laws, and we may have to pay prices for that. But God's called us to be a part of a kingdom, and sometimes that kingdom clashes with the kingdoms of this world, and in that case we have to choose to be true disciples and stand up for the kingdom of God. So we're called to be disciples in this world, living in this world, following Jesus in this world, but also looking for a better world, the world to come. So there we are. 15-minute sermon. Nice and short. I am really blessed by what God has done in us over the last 16 years. God gave us this promise before we started that we would grow to be a church of 1,000 people, and I don't understand yet how that happens except by the grace of God. And we've grown from 13 to, well, we've got 30 here today, and or 32 or 33 or something. And I believe that over the years to come we're going to see an acceleration of that growth process over the years to come, and we are going to see 1,000 people, 100 cell groups as a part of this church of new life. And as Tanya alluded to, long before we get to that stage, we will be having a new building, because there's no way you can fit 1,000 people in this one. So God's going to give us land. A long time ago, God showed us we were going to have land across the road there, next to the railway, and we're just going to pay a pittance, a dollar for that land. So I'm still waiting for God to bring that to us, but the time is going to come when we have that land over there and we build a bigger building than this one there. Won't necessarily be any flashier, but it will be a bigger place to house the revival that's coming. What's wrong?
Do it. What do we buy for a dollar? I could even buy it for a dollar.
Okay. Well, Tanya once gave me a dollar coin to buy it with. They're not selling it yet for a dollar. That's the point, but we'll get it. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the good things you've done, for the journey that we've enjoyed over the last 16 years and the journey that's yet to come, Lord. I thank you that Lord, you promise this church will grow to be a church of 1,000. And Lord, we know that we can't achieve that out of our own ability. But Lord, as we live faithful to you, as we live out your love and your holiness in this community, people will get saved and we will see revival. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now. Come and fill us with your Spirit. Equip us to be your people and enable us to live in this world, in this town, for Jesus. Lord, help us to be faithful in our witness to you and to lift high the name of Jesus every day of our lives. Amen.